Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 1, observing the armies, text number 15. Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadatam Dananjaya Pondram Damo Mahashankam Bhima Karma Vikrodaraha Panchajanyam, the conch shell named Panchajanya, Rishikesh, Krishna, the Lord who directs the senses of the devotees, Devadatam, the conch shell named Devadatta, Dhananjaya, Arjuna, the winner of wealth, Pondram, the conch shell named Pondra, Dhamau, blue, Mahashankam, the terrific conch shell, Bhima Karma, one who performs Herculean tasks. Vrika Udara. The voracious eater. Bhima. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna blew his conch shell called Panchajanya. Arjuna blew his, the Devadatta. And Bhima, the voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks, blew his terrific conch shell called Pondra. Purport. Lord Krishna is referred to as Rishikesha in this verse because he is the owner of all senses. The living entities are part and parcel of him, and therefore the senses of the living entities are also part and parcel of his senses. The impersonalists cannot account for the senses of living entities, and therefore they are always anxious to describe all living entities as senseless or impersonal. The Lord, situated in the hearts of all living entities, directs their senses. But he directs in terms of the surrender of the living entity, and in the case of a pure devotee, he directly controls the senses. Here on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Lord directly controls the transcendental senses of Arjuna, and thus his particular name of Rishikesh. The Lord has different names according to his different activities. For example, his name is Madhusudana because he killed the demon in the name Madhu. His name is Govinda because he gives pleasure to the cows and to the senses. His name is Vasudev because he appeared as the son of Vasudev. His name is Devaki Nandana because he accepted Devaki as his mother. His name is Jashoda Nandana because he awarded his childhood pastimes to Jashoda at Vrindavan. His name is Partha Sarathi because he worked as the charioteer of his friend Arjuna. Similarly, his name is Rishikesh because he gave direction to Arjuna on the battlefield Kurukshetra. Krishna is referred to as Dhananjaya in this verse because he helped his elder brother in fetching wealth when it was required by the king to make expenditures for different sacrifices. Similarly, Bhima is known as Rikodara because he could eat as voraciously as he could perform Herculean tasks, such as killing the demon Hindimba. So the particular type of conch shell blown by the different personalities on the side of the Pandavas, beginning with the Lords, are all very encouraging to the fighting soldiers. On the other side, there is no such credits, nor the presence of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Director, nor that of the Goddess of Fortune. So, they were predestined to lose the battle. And it was a message, and that was a message announced by the sounds of the conch shells. Panchadanyam Rishikesho Devadatam Dhananjaya Pondram Dhamma Mahashankam Bhima Karma Vikrodaraha. Lord Krishna blew his conch shell named, called Panchajanya. Arjuna blew his, the Devadatu. And Bhima, the voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks, blew his terrific conch shell called Pondra. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristai Buddhai Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyadyade Satarne. So here it mentions Krishna as being Rishikesha. That is, he's a super soul in everyone's heart. Therefore in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that sarva bhuta sarva panipanam tat sarvatas shosh rao mukam sarvatas shuti malo ke samavritti tishtate, everywhere is his hands and legs, his eyes and faces, and this way the super soul exists everywhere. So we think that these are our hands, and we think that these are our legs, and this is our face. But actually, it all belongs to Krishna. We're simply 1/10,000th the size of the apparent size as a passenger in the body. And the actual body is being controlled by Krishna. Of course, as in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna, he was a chariot driver. So Krishna is also our chariot driver. He's the one who's giving us direction. Sarvasya chaham ridhi sanavishto matat smritira gyanam apoanam cha vedaischa savaraham eva vedyo vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and from him comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So whatever we can remember is coming from Krishna. And whatever we can't remember is also coming from Krishna. And whatever awareness we have, whatever our consciousness is, that's also coming from Krishna. So the question is whether we acknowledge that we're dependent on Krishna, or we imagine that we're acting independently of Krishna. When we think we're acting independently of Krishna, then the result is we're acting under the three modes of material nature. And especially in Kali Yuga, the tendency is to act under the spell of ignorance and passion. So the illusion is that when we're under the three modes of material nature, we think ourselves independently of Krishna. But actually, Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karamani Sarvachaha Ahankara Vimudatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. Bewildered by the three modes of material nature, the soul thinks himself to be the doer of the activities were actually carried out by the modes of material nature. Or, as it says, Anaditvam Nirgunadvat Paramatmayam Avyam Shariras Dopikantaya Nakaroti Nanalipyate. That those who can see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is eternal, transcendental, and beyond the modes of nature. Despite contact with these modes, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he entangled. So all of us were existing transcendentally, and our connection with this body is simply due to our consciousness. Does anyone know the Bhagavad Gita where it says how the soul is situated in one place but pervades the entire world, body with its consciousness? Ita prakashi yat yarikam kritsnam lokam imam ravi kshetra kshetri tita kritsnam prakashi tibharata. Just like the sun alone illuminates all the universe with the sunlight, so living entity one within the body illuminates the entire body with its consciousness. So we certainly have consciousness, and we're certainly illuminating the body with our consciousness. So we may think it's nice, the present agreement that we have called identifying with this body. Unfortunately, there's threefold miseries. Then there's also birth, death, old age, and disease, which we'd like to forget about. No one would like to listen to a class about death and disease and old age and birth, the horrors of birth, the horrors of old age. We'd like to forget about that. Now, if we gave a class about the wonders of pizza, everyone would think, wow, this is a good class. Now he's talking. And then if you had some ice cream, you'd think, wow, this place is not so bad. Of course, if the ice cream is made by Lidlita Govinda, it's transcendental, so it's liberating. But the fact is that the little soul has a big imagination, and it's trying to enjoy in a material world which is full of suffering, which is a problem. The only problem is he doesn't want to get out of his suffering. It's like the worm in stool, and you try to take it out, it'll fight you, because he thinks he's enjoying. So in the material world, everyone is trying to have happiness here. But as compared to real happiness, it's actually quite a bit of suffering going on. But we Natevidu Swarthikatim Hi Vishnu Dharashaya Bahir Arthamanina. People don't know that, and therefore they take something insignificant as very important. Anandaya Tandira Pigimanaste Pisha Tantra Urudami Vada. They're blind, they don't really understand who they are or what's really going on. But the real problem is that their leaders are blind. They've chosen leaders who are blind, telling them, trying to convince them that they know something. Well, actually, they don't know anything. I mean, they may know something technical. They may have some understanding of how the material nature works to a certain degree. But ultimately, their vision is quite limited because they're conditioned souls. Only when one comes in contact with someone like Srila Prabhupada, who actually emanates prema, can one understand what the goal of life actually is. Then anything less than pure love for Krishna is considered trauma, evahi kevalam, simply insignificant. So that's what the super soul is trying to direct us towards. But we also have the competing mind who's trying to direct us away, trying to convince us that actually we are all independent and we can do whatever we want. And another thing here is about even Bhima. He's called Rikadhara. So people are given nicknames in the Vedic culture, according to their activities. So Rika means a wolf. And Udara means belly. So Bhima had a wolf belly. So those who have a belly like a wolf, they should worship Bhima. They'll become empowered. So Bhima was always hungry. That's why we have Bhima Ekadasi. Because he couldn't follow Ekadasi. He just eating vegetables, he couldn't do that. He had to have a little bit more, something more substantial. Like when the Pandavas were in exile, they were staying at the house of when they fled the house of Lak, they were incognito because their cousins were trying to kill them. So they came to one village, and they were taking shelter in the village. And one Brahmin was giving them shelter. But outside the village, it was one big Rakshasa. And he would terrorize the village all the time. So they made a deal with him that once a month, they'd fill up a cart full of food, and someone would take it up. And the Rakshasa would eat all the food and eat the person who took it up. So then the Brahmin that they were staying with, it was his turn to take the food up. He drew the lot and he had to take the food up, which meant that he would be eaten by the Rakshasa. So the Pandavas wouldn't allow him to go up. So Bhima was very enthusiastic about taking it up, the food up. So the Brahmin wouldn't allow. He said, "Your guests, I can't allow." He said, "No, don't worry. Bhima will take care of everything." So Bhima took up this enormous cart of food and waited. It didn't wait for the Rakshasa to come. Instead, he started to eat all the food in the cart. And finally, the Rakshasa came. There's no food. There's only Bhima. So he became very mad, angry. "Why did you eat my food?" He said, "It was my food." So there's a big fight, and of course Bhima killed the Rakshasa. So if you eat too much, remember Bhima. But then Prabhupada said, if you're going to eat a lot, then you have to perform Herculean tasks also. He just can't eat and snore like Bhima. So there are other stories also of Bhima. In any case, I believe he was a vegetarian. But he liked ghee. Similarly, Arjuna is called Dhananjaya because Yudhisthira Maharaj wanted to perform the Rajasiya sacrifice, and that required an enormous amount of gold. So what he asked his brother Arjuna specifically to go to the Himalayan mountains, because in the Himalayan mountains there's a peak made out of gold. And of course it's hard to bring back a mountain peak, but the Brahmins used to go there and perform sacrifices. And when they performed sacrifices, the king in that area, because it was a mountain made of gold, he made all the utensils that we use for the sacrifice, he made them out of gold, and he gave the Brahmins plates of gold to eat it from. Of course, the Brahmins had no interest in gaining material wealth, so they left all the plates there. So there is a place in the Himalayas, if you can find it, that there is unlimited numbers of plates of gold. I don't think Arjuna took them all, but there's still some plates of gold left, and you can go there. And even if you can't take so many plates back, at least you can eat out a plate of gold once in your life. Take pictures of you eating out of gold plates. Bring it back and show your friends. So Dhananjaya went there and got all these plates of gold and brought them back, and Yudhisthira Maharaj could perform the Rajasiya sacrifice. And I mentioned here also, Krishna is known as Govinda, Rishikesh, Sri Nanda Nandana, Yasoda Nandana, Devaki Nandana. All these names inspire our memory to remember the pastimes with these great devotees. So they're full of transcendental happiness. Because Krishna's reciprocation with his devotees is always full of love and bliss. So one who chants these names in Krishna consciousness and remembers his pastimes actually becomes immersed in an ocean of happiness. And Krishna is especially pleased when we call him by his different names. So when one devotee of Krishna, who was what's the name of that sampradaya? Where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I only know Krishna has two names, Shyamasundara and Yasoda Nandana." What was the name of the acharya? Was that? No. It's. Vallabhacharya. So Vallabhacharya He was a scholar, and he has his own sampradaya. I believe he was originally part of the Sri Sampradaya. In any case, he wrote one, when he was at Jagannath Puri, he wrote one commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh, actually, he wrote a commentary on the holy name also. And he wanted to read it before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that Vallabhacharya wanted to tell him the holy name, a commentary on the holy name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No, it's not, I don't really want to hear it. I only know Krishna has two names, Shyamasundara and Jasodanandana. That's the only two names I know for God, for Krishna. Anything else?" Also, Vallabhacharya said, I wrote a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam which surpasses Sridhar Swami. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he wanted to read it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to hear it. He said, "Anyone who doesn't accept the Swami, I believe to be a prostitute." Generally in India, the ladies call their husband Swami. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is insulting. Because Vallabhacharya insulted the original commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not appreciate that. And then he insulted Vallabhacharya. And that way, Vallabhacharya got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and became humble. And eventually surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he still started his own sampradaya. It's amazing how devotees could actually have the direct association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even realize he's God, and still, to a certain extent, deviate from the actual teachings. Maya is so tricky. Anyhow, I'll stop there. Any questions? Khala. Granthara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.